We're rolling. What?
I just can't believe we're back.
Yeah, we're back. It's been a long old time.
Yeah.
And
when?
I'm sure we'll mention some of the things that have been going on along the course of the podcast.
When was the last episode we did? What month was it? Do you remember? It was a while ago, I know, but
I know it was before November.
Okay.
But yeah, we're back with Coffee with Crime. I'm Lewis.
And I'm Alexi.
And today I have for us a coffee from Counterculture Coffee, based, I think, in Durham, North Carolina. I think that's where they started. And that's where their roastery is. For some reason, I had the wrong information. I had a friend from college who, after he graduated, he went and worked at a counterculture in New York. And so I think just because of that, I was assuming that they were based in New York. But they're one of the older specialty coffee roasters. They started in 1995.
Oh.
And which puts them, I don't know where that puts them in relation to Starbucks.
I think Starbucks
was maybe in the early 90s. Mm. Or, you know, so it was kind of like a, they were ahead of the curve as far as doing these small batches and spending more money on the actual coffee and kind of being more cognizant of paying farmers and stuff like that. Anyway, Counterculture Coffee, and it's kind of a funny story how I got this, because I was yesterday kind of scrambling to get some kind of cool coffee. I didn't just want to buy something at a grocery store like our infamous first episode. And so I went to Iron and Grain. I had seen online that they had changed to Counterculture. Now, they had done a little bit of in-house roasting. They had been serving Doma coffee from Idaho, which we both really like. Mm-hmm. And then they switched to Counterculture. And I don't know exactly why, but I saw that they did. And I was really excited about that, because as much as I had heard about Counterculture and as long as I'd known about them, I had just never tried it. I think maybe we sent an email to them, I'm not sure, but as for our podcast, but they have maybe four or five different whole bean single origin coffees at the East Moline Iron and Grain location.
Oh, okay.
And so I tried to open the door and it was locked and I couldn't see inside. So I was just like, okay, they're closed. So I walked away. But my friend Megan, who is the manager there, she came out and opened the door. She said, "Lewis, we can maybe make, you know, we can make you a drink if you need something." And I'm like, "All I need is to buy whole bean coffee." And so she's like, "Oh, okay."
Oh,
so
nice.
That was really nice of Megan. Thank you for having pity on my poor coffee loving soul. So I asked her, I said, "What's your most interesting coffee? I don't know anything about Counterculture. I haven't researched it."
Yeah.
And she pointed to this one from Colombia, from the Nariño region of Colombia, West Colombia, near the Pacific Ocean. It's called Nuevo Amanecer, which means new dawn in Spanish. And so let's drink it.
All right. Here we
Cheers.
Go. Hang on. Let me get my arm free. All right.
All right.
Cheers.
Cheers. Let's drink this Colombian coffee from Counterculture.
I know you all missed us, our slurping sounds into
yeah.
the microphone.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So this is where the podcast might take a little bit of a left turn. We haven't mentioned it yet, but we have had quite a few months.
Yes.
We're very thankful, but there's been some crazy stuff that's happened. And one of them was that we both got contracted the most likely the Delta variant of the coronavirus in mid-November. And ever since then, we have either had sense of smell that and taste that does not work, or works in a very flawed way. Can you tell me a little bit of your experience with the ensuing taste
so
and smell?
When we had COVID in November, I lost my taste and smell for like a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then it came back, and everything pretty much came back, and everything was normal. just going about my life.
Yeah. Wow.
And then sounds great. Late January, I started like certain things just were smelling and tasting really off.
Yeah.
And I couldn't figure it out. And this is another thing that we didn't mention, but I was pregnant.
Yes.
At the time.
Yes.
I was in my like third trimester. So I thought that maybe it had something to do with that. And then I also had gestational diabetes and I had changed my diet. And so I was thinking that maybe it had something to do with that. So I was trying to figure it out. I was doing a lot of Googling and eventually I stumbled upon this thing. And I don't even know still how to pronounce it. Parasmia?
Yeah.
Parasmia? Yeah. And basically it's when your taste and smell is like off, like things don't smell and taste the way they should, and a lot of times it's like a really bad taste and smell.
Yeah.
So coffee was one of the main things for me that for a long time, like I could not even smell hot coffee brewing because it smelled so horrible. Like just I can't even describe how bad it smelled. And so I didn't drink hot coffee for a long time. Now certain like iced coffees I could drink.
Okay.
And that was okay. And then after our baby was born in early March, things got a little bit better with the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So I've, depending on what it is, I'm able to drink it.
Depending on the coffee, depending on whether
usually
there's cream in it.
When it first is like brewing, it still smells horrible.
Yeah.
Like when Lewis was making this coffee, it did not smell good. But now that I tasted it, it's actually like, it tastes like coffee.
Okay.
So,
really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So a lot, I've noticed that a lot.
So there's a difference between...
With a lot of things lately, too, like when I first smell something, it smells horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And then I like force myself to like breathe it in.
Oh.
And then it starts to smell normal.
Okay. So you're training
your
senses.
Yeah. So and I don't know if that works for everybody because I know, I've joined a couple of like Facebook groups with this.
Yeah.
And like there's a lot of people that have it.
Yeah.
But a lot of people have it way worse than I do.
Yeah.
Where they like they can't eat anything.
Didn't you hear about a cure, like some kind of cure out
there? There's a lot of things that they're, I mean, people say, but there's this thing it's called, and I can't remember.
There's some things for bringing your smell back at all, and then there's other things for correcting the parosmia, right?
Yeah. And this thing, it's called like, it's some kind of injection, and this doctor, there's a doctor that does it in like Texas and another one in California, and somehow it's supposed to correct it. So it works for some people, not for other people. But I think that's only if it's like very extreme. Like I wouldn't have that done just because like most things now I can eat.
Yeah.
And I feel like it might be getting better on its own.
Yeah.
So,
but
yeah.
I mean, that was mid-November and then it's late, it's early April now. So
right.
That's...
Well, I started getting that in like late almost. January. So.
Oh, okay.
Which was weird because you'd think that that would happen like right.
Yeah.
Like during when we had COVID or when I lost my taste and smell. But
that's
the thing that people say that it comes back months after.
Okay.
Usually about like, 2 to 3 months after you have COVID.
And I think that's cool that you found other people on Facebook because, I mean, if you're just going through this on your own, it's like, what is going on with my body?
Well, yeah, that was the
body?
Thing.
But
at first, it was really scary.
If you hear from some other people. And then you're pregnant and you have this diabetes going on and stuff. Yeah. So how does this coffee taste other than like not pure poop?
And like I said, like once I tasted it and I got it close and like smelled it and stuff, it actually tastes good.
Yeah.
I don't know if it has tasting notes on the bag.
It does have.
There was something
notes.
That I like could recognize that I was trying to figure out what it was. Let me take another sip.
Yeah. Let me know.
Maybe like vanilla? Is that possibly one?
No.
Well, before we continue, talk about your
situation. Yeah, I've had a different journey with my recovery from the olfactory and taste effects of having COVID because my taste and smell just went away for a long time and they would come back. And then go away and then come back and go away like different percentages. And it's really still like it's definitely not 100% or anywhere close. So when I get hungry, I eat. And every once in a while, I am able to taste things, especially things that are strong. You know, the other night I had some blue cheese mashed potatoes and I could taste the blue cheese. That's a very funky, like, strong flavor. But as I drink this coffee now, and the coffee I've drank ever since getting the virus, it's the actual coffee flavor itself I cannot taste. I can if there's a flavored coffee, like a while back we had this like flavored coffee that we were drinking that tasted like French vanilla. I could taste a little bit of that French vanilla or that caramel, yeah. that caramel coffee that we were getting from Dunkin' Donuts. But yeah, I cannot smell or taste just the coffee itself. And if I were, I don't know if I'm making this up or what, but I think it almost might smell like beef to me. Like, interesting. Like it changed into that or something.
Is that just recently that it started?
Like last couple months.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not like a terrible garbage smell, but it's definitely not what I'm hoping for.
Is that the only thing that you've noticed that has like developed a different taste or smell?
Yeah. But okay. Again, I mean, I don't think about, especially lately. So in the past 5 months, we've bought a house, had a baby, and so we've had a lot going on. And so yeah. like we have, I mean, yeah, we just haven't had like, I don't know, I had time to like really geek out on food or anything. I mean, we make food, but I just like for the past 4 or 5 months, eating has been like very functional for me. I mean, I know that I'm trying to eat healthy. I don't want to just have French fries all the time, but honestly, like when French fries taste like the same as, you know, a deli sandwich, it's kind of like,
yeah,
it's kind of weird. Yeah. So it's been a strange existence. The reason that I wanted an interesting coffee and the reason I thought this one would be cool is because even though I can't taste coffee itself, like that coffee taste, there are these tasting notes that are around the coffee and I can taste. So one of the tasting notes on this one is brown sugar.
Okay.
And I can, and even though my taste is all out of whack, you know, you're still able to sense things that are sweet, sense things that are savory. And I can definitely like get some sweetness out of this. Not a whole lot more. So anyway, I just wanted an because if we're, you know, like there are, if I drink McDonald's coffee, it's pretty like it's not bad at all, but it just kind of tastes like coffee.
Right.
So when I drink it, when my taste is like 0%, it just literally feels like I'm drinking hot water.
That's interesting.
You know, because there's nothing other than the coffee flavor. But with a coffee like this, that's really, really high end and has these cool tasting notes. I drink it and first of all, it's extremely smooth. There's no bitterness, which you can tell bitterness whether or not you have your taste buds most of the time. But the other thing is that I can taste some I guess some of that brown sugar. I can't taste the orange. Orange is one of the tasting notes. I'm not getting any of that. And
I'm not getting that either. But I usually don't get these notes.
Right.
Anyway.
That's true. And then crisp is the other tasting note.
What is that?
I don't know if it like means like a cookie crisp.
Or like or a British potato chip. Is that what they?
Oh, they call them crisps. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Maybe. Or maybe it just means it's got a crisp sort of.
But I don't really feel like that's a flavor.
No, it's not. Unless we're talking about like it being a potato chip,
right.
which again, maybe it tastes like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
A little bit more about coffee culture. I'm just going to read the back of the bag here. Since 1995, we've been creating extraordinary coffee experiences. We don't just find good coffee. We put the work and commitment it takes to develop great coffees. In addition to sourcing and roasting the incredible coffee in this bag, Counterculture operates training centers across the country. These training centers are hubs that foster coffee education, exploration, and enthusiasm. Join us every Friday at 10 a.m. in any of our spaces and 24/7 at counterculturecoffee.com. That's pretty cool.
They do
training things. And
oh, that's neat.
I didn't have a lot of time to look at their website or social media, but they had a thing about like, what's the best kind of pour over? There's a bunch of different ways to do it, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, cool company, good coffee. Hopefully our taste comes back so we can do more episodes and
saying that's been like one of the reasons why we haven't been doing this. You know, obviously aside from all the other huge life
things
that we've had, but It's like, how can we do this when like one of us can't taste and the other one tastes like everything
weird,
like yeah, garbage.
If you don't mind me getting introspective for a second, I was thinking about doing this podcast, and I was thinking about how, you know, with life experiences, like I try to learn something from them, and it's like, why is this happening? You know, it's not just pointless. Like there's a reason for everything. And with, you know, there have been times in my life where I fasted. And when I fasted, even just one whole day without food, I realized like, wow, I really like food a lot. Maybe too much, you know? Yeah. Like you don't know it because you just it's so part of your day. You just eat. Sure. You spend one day not eating and your body is just screaming at you. Now, I mean, we need food. We need to like nourish our bodies. But it's always been like a healthy reminder, I think, for me here and there to you know, remind myself that like, keep this in check, this kind of thing, so that it's not something that you love more than you should. And in the same way, and this wasn't by choice, but like losing my sense of smell and taste. I mean, ever since I've been in college, I had all these foodie friends, and we were always talking about the food and beverages and the different nuances and how you make it and the quality of it and all this stuff. And not having that for the past 5 months has just been a reminder to me, like, of what's really important, I guess, because I mean, there's this thing that I really love that I just can't really exercise. Yeah. I mean, every single morning I'm drinking coffee and it just tastes either like nothing or it tastes weird.
Yeah.
And so what I've drawn from that is that, you know, flavors matter, taste matters, like cool quality food. Like I love it. It just adds so much to our culture and our neighborhoods and our restaurants. And it's so fun to talk about, but at the end of the day, people are what matter, you know, taking care of people, the people around you, their emotional health, their spiritual health, physical health. So yeah, I just came away from that thinking like, you know, I really hope my taste and smell come back, but even if they don't, like, this is not the most, you know, I kind of realized like, wow, I kind of almost, I guess I realized that I kind of felt like entitled to this, or like I deserved it to be able to taste and smell things. And once it's kind of whisked away from you and you don't know when it's coming back, it can be a little bit of a reality check. Yeah. So yeah, that's just,
you have a really good mindset about stuff. Only you would think that.
I just wanted to throw that in there before, because like we can't talk about the flavor very much.
Yeah, that's, you know, I think your taste and smell will come back.
Thank you.
You know, I've definitely like joining these different groups and like seeing people who have had these issues, like,
well, all this is so unknown because it's so connected to COVID, which is new.
The thing, but like a lot of people like do recover, and I've seen a lot of recovery stories even after like over a year. People say like,
that's very encouraging.
It's back, you know. Yeah. So I think that you'll be fine.
Yeah. But I'm really looking forward to, I mean, and I'm almost like anticipating eagerly, like if I go 6 months, a year without being, and then finally I like have some sort of funky fish oil rich, Thai food, and I can just taste every little, I wonder, you know, like they say, if you're blind, your hearing is way better than people who can see.
Right.
Your all your senses are increased. So I'm kind of hoping that this temporary nose and mouth blindness will result in certainly more thankfulness when it comes back.
Sure.
And also maybe a little more of like a sensitivity and like an ability to, I don't know, maybe it'll be too sensitive. Maybe I won't like anything anymore.
You'll become like super picky.
No, I, knowing myself, I think I would just appreciate everything a lot more and be able to, because that's, you know, whether it's coffee or other foods or drinks, I really, it's something I really enjoy. So.
Yeah.
Well, if you hear little grunting sounds in the background, by the way, that's our baby Vinny. I think we'll take a picture after we're done with this podcast so everyone can see.
Oh yeah.
See him. We're in our kitchen right now of our new house that we bought in Moline, and we've loved having little Vinny around, taking care of him. Oh, I did want to mention this. If anyone listening has had issues similar to us with losing their senses, and we would be really interested to hear, just not only to just know how you're doing, but also maybe to learn something from your experience about this. So if you want to go to our Facebook page, Facebook/Coffee with Crime, I think. and let us know like what happened with you. We would actually really like to hear.
Yeah, definitely. That would be very, cause like, and I think I was telling you this, you know, I've known of a lot of people who have lost taste and smell and have taken a while to get it back.
Yeah.
But I'm the only person that I personally know that has had this like garbage taste. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So if anybody has that, I would really like to hear about that. So
yeah, hit us up.
Yeah. All right.
Well, that was the coffee.
Well, as it, you know what? I do like this coffee. And that's saying a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Also, just a shout out to Iron and Grain for carrying this great coffee. And they've got a location in Davenport, and they've got a location. One of the baristas, Allie, who's a friend of mine, she was telling me that she's been working at this location that they have in Silvis by Egg Parlor. I didn't even know they had a location in Silvis.
I didn't know that either.
So they've got three locations now. So if you live in the Quad Cities and you like coffee or you like pastries or you like tea, I mean, they have a really good like iced tea, hibiscus, something, lemonade. It's like really legit. So if you like anything like that, be sure to support your local coffee shop and go check them out. And let's get to the crime.
All right. Man, this has been, it's been a while. We'll see how it goes. But I'm always nervous when we like take a long break and then I come back to it.
No, you always do great. Everyone loves you.
All right. So today we are going to, be doing, and I know that we've done a lot of these in the past, like these older crimes.
Yeah.
So that's what we're going to do today.
Yes.
Yes. All right. So today we're going to be talking about Mary Farmer.
Okay.
Dun, dun, dun. All right, so Mary Farmer, she was born Mary O'Brien in Ireland in 1881.
Mary O'Brien.
Exactly. So she immigrated to the U.S. in 1900 at the age of 19, and not much is known about her life before moving to the U.S. other than she came from a poor family. She had no education, and she suffered from partial paralysis of her face. And I'm not sure why. I don't know if
palsy,
she was, like Bell's palsy. Yeah. I don't know if she was born that way or if she had some illness or whatever. But she did face a lot of hardships in her life. There was a lot going on in Ireland at that time, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
You know, religious and political
upheaval.
Exactly. Economic issues. So upon arriving in the U.S., she moved to Jefferson County, New York, and she worked as a housekeeper.
Okay.
She ended up marrying another Irishman. His name was James Farmer, and James worked at a paper mill. So, you know, made a good, honest living. They weren't rich or anything. The couple had a daughter who passed away, and I'm not sure what happened to her, how old she was.
Yeah.
But in the fall of 1907, the couple had another child, a son who they named Peter.
Okay.
So, like I said, James had, you know, the steady job at the paper mill, and they were able to get by, but it certainly was not the life that they dreamed about when they came to America. You know, obviously, they thought they were going to come to America like many people did and just
strike it big.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's so what I thought when I came to America.
Did you? Is that what you thought? So especially this was true for Mary because she always fantasized about having this lavish lifestyle, you know, having a big house and fancy clothes and all this great stuff. And not only that, but she also wanted a good life for her son. Mm-hmm. You know, she wanted to give him the best.
And how old is she at this point? When did you say she was
born? So she would have been like mid-20s, 27, 26, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So in 1907, shortly after Peter was born, James was let go from his job at the paper mill.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And to make matters worse, James's supervisor at his job, a man named Patrick Brennan, just so happened to also be his landlord. So Patrick and his wife, Sarah, lived in a big, beautiful home next door to the farmers, and they rented it to them. And they were also immigrants from Ireland. Okay. So they had come from Ireland and they had, you know, actually been very successful.
Yeah.
So it seems counterproductive to fire your tenant.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he was a total nightmare, but
that's an interesting little,
you're not going to get paid.
Yeah. Like, don't expect him to keep paying you if you fire him in a depressed market.
Maybe he didn't want him as a neighbor or as an employee. So yeah, this was like a
Do you know anything about the dynamic, whether there was any
And I don't know why he got fired. I don't know. Yeah. But
well, anyway.
So after getting fired, James starts drinking a lot. So he
wasn't drinking a lot before.
I mean, he was an Irish.
The Irish have a reputation, yeah.
He probably was, but I think once this happened, he was just like really hit it hard, you know, which didn't help the situation. And Mary at this point is starting to feel pretty desperate because, you know, her husband doesn't have a job. They have this new baby. They're struggling financially. He's drunk all the time. So they're still living next door and renting from the Brennans. And Sarah Brennan and Mary, they weren't really friends. They were kind of like frenemies, I guess. Okay. So Sarah was always pretty nice to Mary, but she kind of looked down on her in a way. She kind of thought she was better than her, kind of made a point to talk about how successful her and Patrick were.
As if they didn't know being right next door with a mansion, yeah.
And Sarah would occasionally have Mary over for coffee or tea, and she really enjoyed showing off her stuff, you know, her nice house, her furniture, her fancy dishes and all that. And she was a little stuck up. But, you know, her and her husband, they came here, they worked hard, and, you know, she was proud of what they had. And so, but Mary was jealous for sure. So by the spring of 1908, James was still out of work. And, you know, I can imagine he was probably working like occasional odd jobs to get by.
Yeah.
But, you know, he didn't have anything steady, which is, you know, probably a scary situation to be in.
Yeah.
The couple was not doing well financially still. And Mary's dream of having a beautiful, wealthy life was slipping further and further away. So she decided to take matters into her own hands.
This better not be a two-parter, or I'm not going to be the only one who's mad at you.
When I was preparing for this, I thought about that, and I was like, there's absolutely no way I can do that.
Yeah, you can only get away with so many of those. We just finished a two-parter.
In 5 months, you can hear the conclusion of the story. Yeah, that was my first thought when I was doing that.
Yeah.
But no, I will continue. So one afternoon while Mary was having tea at Sarah's, she stumbled upon a box of important papers, and one of which was the deed to Sarah and Patrick's homes. So this gave Mary an idea.
Whoa.
So the next time Sarah went out, Mary seized the opportunity. She snuck into her home and stole her property deed.
Wow.
My house now.
It's so weird because I've had this thought.
Like what?
Because we just moved here to this house.
Yeah.
And you know, we have the mortgage and everything. And, like, there's a huge paper trail. But, like, I mean, in a sense, like, one day the house is not yours. And then it just is because of all this stuff that you do. And it's like, what if I just would have showed up here and started saying this? Or, like, what if someone else? And another thing I learned, I was looking through our paperwork. I couldn't find the deed. I don't think you get the deed until you finish paying off.
Oh, okay.
Nowadays, paying off the mortgage. So
that
I've got.
Makes sense, yeah.
There is, like, there's legal documents
that
show.
Because we don't technically
own this house. Right.
The house, the
credit union, you know, is handling the loan. So. I've had this thought before of like, what if someone snuck in and just like took some paperwork and was like, it's my house.
Well, that's what happened here. That's really funny that you thought about that. I never thought that somebody could do that.
Yeah. Well, because you hear there's so much fraud, there's so much, especially nowadays, many people just like looking for every little loophole. It's like, what if you just say something is yours?
Didn't we do a podcast a while back where like this woman was just like basically moving into people's houses?
Yes.
I can't remember. Wait,
she had the key. Was
she
the property
manager?
Yeah,
she was like a realtor or something.
Yeah.
And then she was just like...
I vaguely remember
renting
that.
Out these people's houses or whatever.
I'll have to... Sometimes I listen back to our old episode. Listen back. And I don't even like... It's like new information
for
me.
Yeah, it's like, what's
going to
happen?
I forgot about it.
No, I know. I mean, we've done a lot of episodes.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
So she steals the deed.
So she steals the deed. So then she goes to the county records office. She meets with an attorney and pretends to be Sarah.
Right.
So she tells the attorney that she and her husband sold the house to Mary and James Farmer and transfers the title of both houses to herself.
That is sly.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, too, like, I was wondering, this was back in, like, the early 1900s.
Yeah.
I feel like in those days, the county records office, they would need, like, the husband there to also sign over the deed.
Right.
Don't you think so?
Yeah. Yeah.
My husband won't let me. Yeah. I don't know. So I was kind of like, I wonder who was.
Clearly they didn't record
no,
that.
No, they obviously just, you know, took her word for it. You know, and obviously, she must, and she must not have needed.
Not have shown any identification.
Well, I don't think, a lot of people probably at this time didn't have.
They didn't have like ID, a driver's license.
Especially if you were a woman, because yeah. a lot of women probably didn't yep. have jobs or drive or right. need any kind of.
Yeah.
So.
She got the sweet
yeah,
spot.
Yeah, she did.
Of
she really.
History. It's enough paperwork to be dangerous. Wow.
She really took advantage of, you know, pre woman suffrage.
yeah.
America.
yeah. I don't have a voting card.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. So she gets it, you know, transferred over to herself. No problem.
That's crazy.
So that night she presents it to her husband and tells him that she has purchased the properties for $2,100. So she bought these two houses for a little over $2,000.
Okay.
So her husband, you know, he's like, hey, where'd you get this money? Because we're poor.
Yeah.
And she
so she bought.
She tells
she
her husband it. That she purchased the
oh,
house.
But
she
didn't.
Did not. She stole the
oh,
deed
okay.
and
she
had it transferred
over. She was trying to hide
over.
It,
yes.
what she did for him. Okay,
yes.
got it.
So he asks her, you know, where'd you get this money? And she tells him she had a rich uncle who passed away and gave her all this money. So he doesn't ask too many questions. He just kind of goes with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I came home and was like, hey, I just bought this house, I mean, wouldn't you have a lot of questions about that?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
But apparently, he was just happy, I guess, that this uncle had left her money and
yeah.
he was cool with it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So now they have the deed to these homes, but there's just one small problem.
There's still someone living in the
yes,
house.
Yes, well, first
own.
Of all, the Brennans never actually sold them
right,
the house.
Right.
And they're still living in it.
Yep.
So on April 23rd, 1908, Patrick Brennan was out of town and Sarah had a dentist appointment. So, like a good friend and neighbor, Mary offers to go to the dentist with her. But instead, she goes to her house, comes up behind her, and strikes her multiple times with an axe.
Huh.
So she kills Mary, yeah. kills Sarah.
Yeah.
And now she's got this other problem because now she has a body that she has to get rid of.
This is not what I was expecting. For some reason, I thought she was going to go to the dentist. Mary was going to go over and just like pretend that it was
just
her house. Say, like, what are you doing here?
That would be interesting.
I mean,
yeah.
Because legally, she could have done
right.
that.
Right.
But no, she had a different approach.
Yeah, man, she went about this all wrong.
Yeah.
She could have done that and then, like, said, like, oh, Sarah's, like, losing her mind. She sold us the house.
Yeah.
And she doesn't remember.
Right.
And, well, hindsight.
Yeah.
Anyway, so she kills her.
Okay.
So she goes to her house, gets a big trunk, puts her body in it, and then cleans up all the blood and everything.
Okay.
So, when Patrick returns, he finds himself locked out of his own house. So,
right.
he's trying to get in. He's like, what's going on? So, Mary comes over and tells Patrick that while he was gone, Sarah sold them the house, and then she decided to leave him and move to Chicago. So, she's like, your wife sold
okay.
us the house, and then she left you, you know, so
that's crazy.
Forget about it.
Yeah.
And then they end up getting Patrick evicted from the house.
Wow, successfully.
They, yeah. And
wow.
like the next, I think it was like the next day.
Didn't he talk to the police or try to?
I'm sure he did at the time that they were evicting him, but they had this deed.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
wow.
Well, looks
You'd
like your wife
like
sold
the house. You think
like
the townspeople would have, enough people would have known each other where they
yeah,
could have like
I know.
Figured it out.
I know.
That she had conned
Well, you
them.
Would think like, and I don't know how big of a town Jefferson County was
yeah.
at the time, but like you would think even her going to the office, people would have, you know, recognized that she wasn't
that's
Sarah.
Not, that's not Sarah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hmm.
I don't know. So Patrick moves out, and he moves into a hotel, and the farmers move into their home.
Wow.
Yeah. And this all happens within, like, a couple of days.
Wow.
So Patrick is obviously concerned about his wife, and he's not buying Mary's story, so he ends up calling the police to investigate what's going on.
Yeah.
So a few days later, on April 27th, the sheriff and Patrick go to the home now occupied by the farmers, and they search the home. So when they're searching it, they end up finding a bloody coat, an axe, which I don't think was bloody. I think she had washed it off, but still, there's this axe.
Yeah, it's inside the house. Yeah.
And they noticed a horrible stench coming from a screened-in porch.
Oh, boy.
And that's the thing, like...
What'd she expect?
Well, yeah. And plus, like, how did her husband not notice this?
Yeah.
But, well, anyway, well... so it was, they go into this porch. It's coming from this big trunk. So the trunk was locked, and the sheriff asks whose trunk it was. And Mary says that it belonged to her husband. And
oh, no.
Her James says, that's a damn lie. And then Mary finally admits that it is her trunk.
Yeah.
So the police end up breaking the lock with a hammer, and inside was the bloody body of Sarah Brennan. So Mary and James are both arrested, and when they were questioned, James denied any knowledge of what happened, because he had nothing to do with this. I'm not sure how he didn't notice a dead body in his porch or whatever, but maybe he didn't spend a lot of time out there.
Yeah.
I don't know. So at first, Mary tells the police that James was responsible, but eventually she ends up confessing and saying that it was actually her that killed Sarah.
Yeah.
So Mary's trial began on June 16th of 1908, and the defense argued that Mary was both insane and that she had also killed Sarah in self-defense.
Hmm.
So just throwing everything at the jury, seeing what sticks.
Right.
So after a three-hour deliberation, the jury found Mary guilty, and she was sentenced to death by electrocution.
Wow.
So... Mary's husband, James, was still in jail at this time. He had been convicted of the murder several months earlier, and he was...
Convicted of the same murder?
Yeah, so they...
Like a co-conspirator.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So they assumed that he, you know, helped her or whatever, and he was currently on death row. On March 28th, 1909, the night before her execution, Mary actually wrote a letter stating that it was all... her and James had nothing to do with it.
That was nice of her.
It was nice, you know.
One last one good last deed.
Yeah, exactly. Mary was executed the next morning, and she was actually the second woman to get the electric chair in the state of New York.
Wow.
Yeah. The first one was a woman named Martha Place, so we might have to do an episode on her.
Yeah.
Coming up. And anyway, because of Mary's letter, James' conviction was overturned. He was later tried for forgery, but he was acquitted on that as well.
Yeah, because he didn't, as far as we know, he didn't have anything to do with any of this. Yeah,
I believe he didn't. I don't know why, but I just... James wouldn't do that.
Have you seen a picture of him?
No.
Okay.
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
I should look that up. And unfortunately, their son, Peter, he went to live with relatives, but eventually ended up in an orphanage, which is sad.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's...
That's the story.
That's the story of Mary Farmer.
Hmm.
Any questions? Comments? Concerns?
Well, I'm just... Keep your doors locked and... Don't let people dig into your personal documents.
Yeah, don't show people where you keep your
keep your cabinets locked and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clearly this is a fear that I have already had.
Yeah, that's really funny that you've actually thought about this.
When we first moved here, I would be walking from the garage into the house and being like, I wonder if anyone thinks it's... Like, I felt like a foreigner.
Right.
You know, I felt like, what am I doing here? Like, I just... All I did was sign some papers. Now I'm walking around in this house as if I own it. Well, I mean...
Right.
It's just strange. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess you spend so much time renting and you're not really used to that mindset of, like, you know, having your own place. And so, anyway.
But we've really enjoyed having our house.
Yeah, we have. We're going to hopefully do more podcasts from here. And like I said, we'll post a little picture of us with Vinny. And we fed him a little bit ago, so he's taking a nap right now. But,
yeah, I think he's taking a nap.
Yeah, I think so. But thank you for sticking with us, if you are sticking with us. And we're hopefully, as far as people who are listening, and We're going to try to be kicking out some more episodes here and there.
We're hoping that our smell and taste gets a little bit better.
Yeah.
So,
hoping for that.
And then we'll be able to give more in-depth reviews of these coffees.
Right.
But thank you for listening, and we will talk to you guys again soon.
We'll take our coffee
with Prime.